Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
You're worthy, God. You're the only one.
You're the only one. You're the only one.
Yeah, God.
God.
La 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 la.
Trust in me, said the Lord God, for I will never leave you or forsake you. Though your eyes may not see and your hands may not feel my presence. Hallelujah. I am here, said the Lord God. I am real. I'm just as real as anything that you could ever even experience, said the Lord God. Trust in me. Trust in me. Trust in my voice. Trust in me. Trust in me, said the Lord God. Trust in me. Even if you don't understand, just trust in me. Trust in me, said the Lord God, for I will never leave you nor forsake you. Trust in me, says the Lord God. Let's give him some praise this morning. Hallelujah. 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 God bless you. You may be seated. Thank you, music team. Trust in God. 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 Amen? Amen. Trust in the Lord God. Hallelujah. Trust in God. No matter what it looks like, trust in God. No matter what it feels like, trust in God. No matter what you think, no matter what you feel, trust in God. Ha! That's a word for us all. Hallelujah. Trust in God. God is a good God all the time, folks. Hallelujah. There may be somebody here today that's just going through some things that you just really don't understand. Hallelujah. Maybe something that you can't even describe to people. But God wants you to know today that He knows. He knows. And He will never leave you or forsake you. He knows. He knows. Whatever it is you're going through this morning, whatever it is you need, hallelujah, whatever changes you need to come your way, it's done. Amen. How you know it's done, preacher? Because God says whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe that you've already received it, and you shall have it. You shall have it. You shall have it. It's done. Everybody say it's done. Come on, once more time.
It's done.
One more time.
It's done.
One more time.
It's done.
Hallelujah. So you say, Pastor, it can't be that easy. That's why it hasn't been happening in your life. You don't realize that it's that easy. I'm talking about saved people now. Now, if you're not saved, today is the day you're supposed to get saved.
Amen.
Amen? Amen. If you're not saved, the reason you're here today is to get saved. To give your life to God, not necessarily to join a church, any church. You can join 1,000 churches in America, but if you're not saved, amen, your destiny hasn't changed. But if you're saved today and you need something to happen in your life, all you got to say, it's done. Hallelujah. Let me hear you say that one more time. It's done. Come on, give God a hand clap this morning. Give him some praise. Hallelujah. I sometimes wonder how many people really believe all this stuff. Hallelujah. I believe some people come to church wishing. They're not sure if it's true. They're not sure if it's untrue. But they say, well, maybe, just maybe. Maybe if I just act like I'm good enough, something's going to happen. Hallelujah. I want to tell you today, this is real, folks. God is real. God is real. And he's with each and every one of us every day, 24 hours a day. He is real. I know sometimes you want to see him. Sometimes you want to touch him. Sometimes you want to hear his audible voice. I understand all that. Sometimes you want to feel him, feel the flesh. But the Bible says God is a spirit. And those that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Now, that blows my mind. I don't understand that, but I believe it. I believe it. And because I believe it, I walk in it. Amen. I act like I believe it. Amen. Sometimes we don't act like we believe it. Sometimes we're one way on Sunday and a whole different way on Monday. What happens to you? Do your God change? It's the same God that you come in to worship. The only reason we come here is to worship together. Hello. And God has told us to do that. But on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday, listen, we're still worshiping God. And wherever you're at, wherever house you're in, whatever car you're driving, whatever, you're still worshiping God. There is a God. There is a God. There is a God. Sometimes we think that that God will only do something for us if we do all the right things, all the good things, and all the nice things. Let me tell you something. You and I weren't nice enough to get saved. Hello. But he saved us anyway. It's not about our thing. Oh, are you with me? We got saved because we believed him. And we turned our lives over to him. Not because we were all that good. If we were all that good, we wouldn't even need to be saved. You know, last week we started talking about survival in the last days. And whether you understand it and believe it or not, we're in the last days. We're in the last days. We're in the last days. Prior to Jesus Christ, our Bible records 4,000 years, starting with Adam. And then since Jesus Christ, we have experienced 2,000 years. That's six, amen? How many days in a week? Huh? So that tells me, listen, if 6 days have passed, then we're in the last day, amen? We're in the last day. You say, well, when I'm going to see Jesus? Come on now. When's the rapture going to take place? I don't know, but I believe. Listen, we're in the last days. We're in the last days. So if you didn't believe it, listen, the last couple of days, you better believe it today. Because we're in the last days. And the Bible tells us what's going to happen. He tells us in the last days, the devil going to get stupid. He's going to start stirring stuff up like never, ever before. All you got to do, listen, with that phone that you got or the iPad or your computer, all you got to do is listen to the news sometime. And you'll see, listen, we got more wars. Come on. The Bible talked about in the last days there will be wars and rumors of wars. As we listen at the news, we think, well, this situation over here is going to settle in a couple days. Yeah, it don't work. Because when a couple days go by, now we're talking about another country in war. And in another country in war. In another country in war. Even in this culture right here in America, we're seeing people, listen, we're seeing people killed more now than ever before by other Americans. All you got to do is pick up a newspaper any day of the week, 365 days, and you're going to read or hear about somebody getting killed. Can I get an amen on that? Amen. You say, where does it all come from? Where does it all come from? Yes, people were being killed. Listen, when we were little kids, they were getting killed, but not at the level you're seeing now. Not at the level you're seeing now. It's almost as if the culture don't even care about human life anymore. They will take you out in a minute. Thank God that we're protected by the grace and the mercy of God. God is a good God all the time. So it's obvious, you say, preacher, what you're saying, it's obvious that you and I are living in the last days. How long we got, I don't have a clue. We may have a week. We may have a 50 years. I don't know. But I know this is the last days. And we see it by the signs. Amen. We see it by the signs. By the signs. We got people in our culture. I'm going to get to this message here in a minute. But listen, we got people in our culture carrying around signs, basically asking the world to give them the privilege to kill their babies. You tell me that's not crazy. That is just as crazy. That is just as crazy. Hallelujah. And now you and I are living at a time where it's hard to find a family where there's not at least one person who don't know what sex they were born in. Hello? Hello? I remember being a kid. Listen, they had homosexuals and lesbians back then, but you didn't know them. You didn't know them. You didn't know them. The only way you would know them if they were close friends of yours and somehow or another that got exposed to you. But as a rule, you didn't know them. But now people are fighting, hallelujah, to be known that they're a lesbian or they're a homosexual or whatever. Something's wrong with this picture, folks. But all of this has been predicted for you and I. God didn't allow us to come into this time without knowledge. But that's what the Word of God's for. But as you study that Word of God, you realize what time you're in, that you're living in, and you're living in the last days. Somebody say, help me, Lord. Hallelujah. God is good all the time. That's why I'm constantly telling you to follow the peace. There's going to be some storms come in your life. You're not going to live stormless. There's going to be some storms coming in your life, whether they're physical, whether they're mental, whether they're spiritual, whatever, whether they're social. There's going to be some things that just keep you upset or make you upset. May not keep you upset, but make you upset. So today we want to talk just briefly about conquering the storms of life. They're coming. They're coming. They're coming. But you got to get geared up. And the way you get geared up is get your mind ready. You get to know what the Bible says about you and what power that you have. Most Christians don't even realize that they have power to change things. You're waiting for it, huh? You're waiting to see the power operate in your life. Well, the only reason it's not working is because you're not working it. Amen. Amen. That's the only reason it's not working. You got to work it. You got to work it. And if you don't know you got it, you won't work it. You just won't work it. I thought about men and women of the past here in this culture, men and women of God, that have just showed up on the scene. Some of them you know, some of them you don't know. I won't even call any names, but you know some of them. Men and women of God that just had a ministry of healing folks. Men and women of God, listen, come on, just speak into your life and tell you what's going on. Men and women of God that have just turned people's life from the negative to the positive. You say, well, they're just specially chosen people. Well, they're just people that got saved. Come on. And got so conscious to the reality of what was inside of them, they started letting it come out on the outside of them. If you ever find out what's inside of you and start letting it out on the outside, you will never be the same. Never be the same. Storms are coming in your life. Now, they might not be terrific storms, but they're storms nevertheless, storms that can make a difference, a negative difference in your life. So when they come, you got to be prepared. Look at somebody and say, let's get prepared. Have you ever wakened in the morning with a smile on your face, feeling great? Looking forward to a day that, a day ahead, or the what's going to happen that day, and then suddenly, everybody say suddenly. Suddenly all of hell's power break loose. All kinds of crazy stuff. It could be somebody that you're married to. It could be your children. It could be a debtor or a creditor or something. It could be anything. But you wake up and you're so happy, then all of a sudden this thing happens and your whole day is ruined. That ever happened to you? Or maybe you're driving down the freeway and your car seemed to be running great, and then suddenly, everybody say suddenly. Suddenly everything falls out from under the car and the car stopped. Now, I don't think that happened to most of us, but you may have had a situation where you were driving and your car just stopped. It just stopped when you thought everything was all right. Have you ever been in a situation, come on now, like that where a storm arises out of nowhere? Well, all of a sudden things just, you know, just happen. Maybe you got that phone call. You ever got one of those phone calls? You ever got one of those phone calls? Those phone calls that'll launch you into worrying. Phone calls that'll launch you into wondering, how can this thing be fixed, whatever it is. You say, what kind of stuff? Well, maybe your child's school tuition expenses just double if they're going to private school. That'll throw you off a little bit. Maybe your electricity or your gas bill just double. That'll mess up your day. Maybe your spouse suddenly decides that they're no longer happy in the marriage. That'll definitely mess up your day a little bit. Or maybe you go to the doctor just for a routine checkup and discover that you have a serious disease. Will that mess up your day? Hallelujah. Storms are coming. Storms are coming. See, that's the way the devil operates. He loves to catch us off guard. Are you with me? When everything is just going so smoothly. You say, why he's doing that, preacher? Well, he's hoping that this unexpected attack will cause you to panic and you'll be unprepared to deal with it. Are you with me? Amen. Man, if you don't get nothing else today, get that. The devil is trying to get you off guard so that you will do or say or act the wrong way. Everybody say, he ain't gonna get me. Hallelujah. We've had phone calls that night, you know, from one of our grown kids. The crazy stuff might have been happening. You know, and Sister Eva, she's worried about it. And I'm laying in the bed. I said, go to sleep. Are you with me? Now, she don't understand why I say go to sleep, because she said this is a serious situation. Go to sleep. We've got to learn to conquer the storms of life. We've got to do it because they're not going to stop coming. But it seems like a lot of Christians, they panic. They panic. Why are you panic? What is there that God can't fix? Answer that question. What is there that God can't fix? The problem is we try to fix it and we mess it up every time. Ah, somebody say, help me, Lord. So that devil tries to come with an unexpected attack, and he's hoping that you'll be unprepared for this attack. You see, when people panic, they throw all their Bible lessons out of the window. All the messages they heard, they just throw it out of the window. And they respond how, preacher? They respond in fear. They're scared rather than in faith. Because the devil works overtime trying to steal the word of God from us. I think one of the testimonies I remember is Andrew Womack. Everybody know Andrew Womack, right? He tells this testimony all the time. I think it was one of his sons died. He got a phone call from the hospital, and the son had, I don't know how he died. I don't remember all the details, but he had died. It wasn't the type of thing where he was in a hospital and they were expecting him to die or something. Something happened and he just died. And they lived several hours away from the hospital. Come on now, put yourself in that position. Somebody tells you that somebody close to you, your loved one has died. What do you do? You say, oh, my Lord, can't be. Maybe they got the wrong person, whatever. You get all upset. But Andrew Womack didn't get upset. He didn't get upset. Not according to his testimony. He didn't get upset. Told his wife not to get upset. And they got in the car and they drove those few hours to the hospital. Hallelujah. And they were praying all the way, confessing victory. Now the son is dead. Amen. Confessing victory. Amen. Over this situation. They got to, they got to the hospital. Hallelujah. Laid hands on the son. This is a few hours later. And the son came back to life. You say, how did that happen? He knew what was inside of him. Most of us don't believe that that's inside of us. Hallelujah. God is a good God all the time. If it was inside of Andrew Womack to raise someone from the dead several hours later, then it's inside you. You better grab that. Ain't no use you going around here worrying. Come on, because the storms of life come into your life. Amen. For most of us, you know, if we had that situation, listen, we'd have just been thinking 3 hours on the way to the hospital, what's the funeral going to be like? Where am I going to get the money to bury him? What kind of flowers should I have? Who am I going to get to preach the funeral? But they weren't thinking along those lines. Hallelujah. For 3 hours, as they drove to that hospital, I know what they were thinking about. They were thinking about talking and fellowshipping with their son. Hallelujah. You got more power in you than you realize. And when the storm comes, you need to know how to act appropriate. God is good all the time, is he not? Let's see what the Bible has to say about faith instead of fear. I want to take you to a scripture in a minute. In this scripture, Jesus had told his disciples the parable of the sowers. Now he was given the explanation. I'm not going to go back, to the parable of the sowers again. But he had given them the parable, but now he was starting to explain to them what the parable means. And I'm going to take you to Mark chapter 4, verse 13 through 15. And this is how it reads. Now, this is Jesus. And he said unto them, because they asked him about the parable. What does that mean? He said unto them, don't you know this parable? Then how will you know all parables? And then in verse 14, he starts to explain. He says, the sower soweth what? The word. And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But, everybody say, but. When they have heard, Satan come immediately and take away the word that was sown in their hearts. That's how some of us are. You may go into a church and hear a sermon, and that sermon moves you, listen, to start thinking a little bit differently, start taking different actions. But listen, as soon as you walk out the door, the devil comes. If you're not rooted and grounded in the word, the devil comes and steals that word out of your heart. Jesus explicitly said that once the word is sown, Satan comes immediately to take it away. Immediately. Therefore, we must be on our guard all the time to resist Satan's attack. Oh, he's coming. He's coming. I don't care how long you've been saved. I don't care how long you've been going to church. When those disasters, listen, when he got a way of shaking you up, he's coming. He's coming with a storm in your life. He's definitely coming. Hallelujah. If anybody should have had a revelation of this principle, it definitely should have been the disciples. Don't you agree with that? Amen. These are the men that walked with Jesus, talked with Jesus, ate with Jesus, slept in the same building with Jesus all the time. They should have known it. But notice what happened. I'm going to take you to verse 35. Notice what happened. Now, he had explained to them, that was just part of the explanation, but he had explained to them what the parable of the sowers really meant. And he had went through that whole stage. But then in verse 35, it says, and the same day when the evening was come, he said unto them, the same day he explained to them that Satan was going to come and try to put fear in their heart. He said unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. Verse 36. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there was also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm. Everybody say great storm. See, everybody is saved and happy. Everybody can clap and dance until a storm comes. And then all of a sudden, you poor pitiful me. You're crying all over the place. You're falling all down. You're just going through panic. Hallelujah. And verse 37 said again, and there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full of water. Picture that in your mind. Picture that, a boat big enough to hold Jesus and his disciples. Now it was getting full of water. Amen. Full of water. Now you can't keep taking water onto the boat without it sinking. And that's what was on these men's mind. Now the literal Greek meaning of the word arose is unexpected. They had no idea that the storm was coming. Professional fishing men. They had no idea at all that the storm was coming. And that's what the devil does. All of a sudden, you're faced with this storm of life. All of a sudden. They had no idea a storm was coming. This thing came out of nowhere. Nowhere. It's not like us, like we got the news and we know the storm is coming. This thing just came out of nowhere. Don't you know that's the devil? Don't you know that's the devil? In the Greek, the word great comes from the word mega, meaning enormous, huge, or overwhelming. In other words, this storm was designed by the forces of hell to destroy them. And they knew it cognitively in their minds because they had been fishing so long. They knew that they couldn't survive something like that. They knew it. These men had been on the boat all their lives. But evidently, this storm was so bad that it caused fear to arise on the inside of them. You ever had something happen to you that you just got scared? You ever had something like that happen to you? Have you? Have you ever had anything like that? It just got scared. Especially when you think it's going to happen to you or somebody that you love. And that's the devil tactics. He'll come unexpectedly with a big storm or what appears to be a big storm in your life. And to these men, this storm seemed to be big and unusual. Big enough to wipe them all out. Hallelujah. When fear arose, they forgot everything. And that's what happened to you and I. Even though we've been going to church for 30, 40 years, whatever, I'm telling you today, listen, you can conquer those storms of life. You've got something inside of you that'll win every single time. But you got to awaken it. You got to awaken it. You just got to waken that thing up. Hallelujah. Once again, when fear arose, they forgot everything that they had been taught. Everything. Jesus just finished telling them that about the parable and explaining all that to them. Everything. And listen, they forgot everything. And you know what? That's exactly what the devil wanted them to do. When you forget the sermons that you heard, when you forget the word that you read in the Bible, when you forget the promises of God simply because you're facing a storm, that's exactly what the devil wants to happen. Amen. Oh, sa-da-da. It happens a lot with husband and wives. When one of them start acting foolish, start acting crazy, start acting different. And then all of a sudden we start panicking. We start panicking. And then what we do is we start challenging them. Whether you're the husband or the wife, it don't matter. We start challenging them. We're not understanding that what we're doing is just causing another storm. Amen? When you can use what's inside of you, come on. You could do just like Jesus did, say, peace. Be still. Are you with me? See, you don't have to say it to the other person. You can say it to you. Peace. Be still. Are you with me? You don't know. That other person, they may have opened their lives unexpectedly or undeliberately to the devil. The devil's using them to destroy the whole thing. Are you with me? So if you take God and start doing what they're doing and creating another storm, pretty soon somebody going to say, I'm finished with this. I'm finished with this. And that's exactly what the devil wants. Instead of you going away, walking away, turn your back from that person and say, peace, be still. Huh? Peace, be still. You don't have to argue. You don't have to answer. Just get peace inside of you. And pretty soon, oh, wow, wow. This ought to be a marriage counsel. Pretty soon, let me tell you something. When the devil realizes he can't be successful through that person, he'll leave that person. Then that person will come back and they're just as gentle as a lamb. But we don't do that. We just start another storm. And now you got two storms. Somebody say, help me, Jesus. Ah. God is so good all the time. So once again, when fear arose, they forgot everything they had just been taught. And that's exactly what Satan was hoping. Satan loves to catch us off guard, particularly right after a major victory in our lives. You know, when something has gone great and God has used you magnificently, that's the time the devil shows up. Because you high as a kite. You feeling good. Amen. Because of your victory. Satan knows that there's a tendency to drop your guard spiritually after a victory. He knows that. Mark 4, verse 38 says this. God is just so good all the time, folks. Amen. Aren't you glad you're saved? Hallelujah. I believe God has raised us all up to fight battles. The problem is we don't want to fight no battles. We want everything to be peaceful. Only way that's going to be peaceful is you on the other side. If the devil could come in there, he's going to cause some mess. He's going to use the thing that gets you stirred up the most. If it's your spouse, he'll use your spouse. If it's your children, he'll use your children. If it's your parents, he'll use your parents. If it's your pastor, he'll use your pastor. He'll use whatever he can to stir you up. Mark 4, 38. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, talking about Jesus, asleep on a pillow. Everybody say he was asleep. And they awake him and they said unto him, Master, see the storm has come. And the boat's almost filled with water. They say, Master, don't you care that we perish? Sometimes you be going through some things and the devil tell you, well, God don't care. You better take care of this. You remember how he tricked Eve in the garden? Did God really say that? God's always caring. He said, and he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow, and they awaked him, and they said, Master, don't you care that we perish? You know, these men were just so frightened to the point that they thought Jesus didn't care. And sometimes you and I get that way. If the storm is big enough, if it's bad enough, and God don't instantly turn it around, we think that we got to handle it. You don't have to handle nothing. You don't have to handle nothing. Let me say that again. You don't have to handle nothing. You don't have to handle nothing. Are you with me? Can you even imagine your three-year-old, just because the refrigerator is empty, saying, I'm going to go out and make a hustle. I'm going to go out. Come on, I'm going to go out and make us some money, Mama. I'm going to go out and make us some money, Daddy. No, you're going to sit your butt right here. I got it. Are you with me? And that's what God is saying. I got it. I got it. I don't care how bad the situation is. God's got this thing. God's got it. And God is preparing us. He's telling us this is the time that things may come up. So you got to be prepared. Hallelujah. Isn't God so, isn't God good? Amen. They thought Jesus just didn't care. And that's exactly what the devil will try to tell you. God don't care about you. He might care about that pastor, but he don't care about you. That's the biggest lie. Hallelujah. The devil will even send some, what I call nice Christians, to tell you, well, if this faith stuff really works, where's God when you need him? I know you haven't heard that yet. Hallelujah. Praise him. That's the way it seemed when Satan attacks your finances. That's the way it seemed when Satan attacks your family. That's the way it seemed when he attacks your business. That's the way it seemed when he attacks your church. Sometimes the attacks come in what I call hurricane proportions. They're so big. Anybody here been in a hurricane? You know, being from Louisiana, we dealt with hurricanes every year. You know, hurricane proportion. Rain is one thing, but hurricanes is a whole different thing. And when the hurricane proportion comes, you're thinking, dear God, what did I do? What brought this on? You haven't done anything. There's a devil, folks. He's a maker of the storm. Verse 39, let me read that. Mark chapter 4, 39. See, the disciples were just scared because of the size of the storm. But verse 39 says, and Jesus got up, he arose. And what did he do? He rebuked. Oh, man, you ought to underline that in your Bible. Listen, let me tell you something. I remember a few years back, I don't even remember when it was, a few years back, there was supposed to be a serious hurricane, some sort of weather attack coming our way. It was supposed to be super serious. And then the ministers met over at Soul Saving Station, and they asked me to pray. And I prayed, listen, I prayed, and I rebuked that storm in the name of Jesus. And I told that storm, there's no way you coming this way. The storm went around Hereford County. You don't know who you are. I don't know if you guys remember that thing, but I remember that thing. It went around. It still caused damage, but it didn't cause damage to us. You don't know who we are. Verse 39 says, and he arose, and he rebuked the wind, and he said into the sea, peace. You got that kind of power. Peace. Be still. Peace. Be still. And what happened? The Bible said, and the wind ceased. And there was a, not just a calm, but a great calm. Don't you know that blew those disciples' minds? Don't you know that? That blew their minds. Because each and every one of them thought this was their last day on planet Earth. They had been fishing long enough to know that they were not, in their minds, they were not going to survive that. And listen, you and I do that sometimes the same thing. And God said, I want you to tell them today, no matter how big the storm is, all they got to do is say, peace. Peace, be still. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Peace, be still. Amen. Are you with me? Amen. Peace, be still. Peace. Like I said, when you see a person that you're dealing with, could be your spouse, could be somebody else, and the devil is using him, or you think he's using him, you don't have to get in the midst of that. Just turn your head and say, peace. Be still. Wake up to who you are. I keep saying it. We're not just church members. We're part of the body of Christ. That's why Jesus said, the things I'm doing, greater will they be able to do. Let's get it on. Amen. That same Greek word for great is mega, meaning enormous, meaning huge, meaning overwhelming. So out of the mega storm came a mega calm. Oh, God is so good. God's answer to great battles is great victories. Ha. I can hear the Spirit of God say, wake them up, preacher. Let them know who they are and what they're all about. Are you with me? You don't have to accept everything that you hear or that you're exposed to. You don't have to ride out and die in the storm. You don't have to do that. You could say, peace, be still. Peace, be still. Isn't God good? Amen. Hallelujah. God's answer to great battles is great victories. And when you take authority and you have victory, that makes God so happy, so pleased. His answer to great battles is great victories. Ha! 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 All the time. God is so good all the time. Right now you may be going through something and you may be saying, this is the greatest attack that I've ever experienced. I don't know what you're going through. You don't know what I'm going through. But we do know, hallelujah, that greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Then what you're really saying is the miracle that you're headed for is going to be the greatest miracle that you've ever experienced. God is good all the time. The greater the attack on your finances, the greater the attack on your family, your business, your church, then the greater the victory will be if you trust God. Amen. We're in the last days. We're in the last days. There's going to be some battles. There's going to be some attacks. Let them come. Let them come. Let them come. Tell the devil, let them come. Bring it on. Bring your best. Shoot your best shot. See, we won't say that because we want everything to be just nice and calm. We don't want no problems. But the devil has a way of finding holes to come in and get into your life and cause storms to come. And when they do, you have to be ready for victory. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Remember Joseph? Remember that story of Joseph? Joseph was sold by his brothers. Now, that's enough right there to just mess your mind up. Sold, and he wound up being a slave. And then he wound up going to jail. It didn't do nothing. Didn't do a thing to deserve all of this. But one thing Joseph did is he stayed flat. He stayed with God. He never changed, no matter what the situation, no matter what storm came in his life. Joseph was imprisoned in Egypt. And he was not an Egyptian. He was a foreigner. And God gave him leadership within the prison with the other inmates. Hallelujah. And then, hallelujah, don't you forget this. Listen, if you haven't heard anything that I've said today, listen to this. Listen, when this whole thing was over, and Joseph had proved that he was going to stand no matter what the devil threw his way, God made him second in charge of the whole country. Amen. A foreign country. Can you imagine going to China? China. Those people look a little different than you. Those people talk a little different to you. Are you with me? And God making you, listen, second in charge of the nation of China? You can't imagine that. I can't imagine that. But that's what God does. And that's what God will do for us when the storm comes. He will give us the victories. But you got to maintain. You got to maintain. All it took to defeat this unexpected megastorm of hurricane proportion was a rebuke from the word of God. Amen. That's all it took. That's all it took. That's all it took. Jesus didn't call for any weathermen. You can't just wish things to change. You just can't think about things changing. You have to put the sword of the Spirit in your mouth and do exactly what Jesus did. What did he do, preacher? Jesus spoke against it. Peace. Be still. How are you going to tell a storm to be still? Huh? You know we don't believe we got that kind of power. But Jesus said, what you see me doing, you're going to do more than that. Oh, man. Hallelujah. God is so good all the time. Speak against it. Open your mouth. Say what the word says. When adversity suddenly comes into your life, you still need to say peace. Be still. Amen? Amen. Now I don't have to know all that you know about your life or your environment, but I know storms come. I know they come. And they come in different forms, different fashions. But when they come, from here on out, I want you to be able to say, peace, be still. Peace, be still. And mean it. Don't wish for it. Mean it. Mean it. Mean it. You ever be at a park or a grocery store or whatever, and you see a parent, man or woman, doesn't matter. Listen, and they got two or three kids with them, and the kids are running all over the store. And I would just give them names, you know, maybe the boy named Mo, you know, Mo, come in. And the boy, and Mo ain't paying no attention to him. Mo ain't paying no attention to him. And the girl named Ray. Ray, come in. The girl just all over the place. All over the place. And the third child is doing the same. And the parent keeps saying, come on here. Didn't I tell? Sometimes we act that way with the devil. Trying to talk soft and nice to him. Amen? Start just listen. When those seasons come, just say, peace. Be still. You know it's the devil. 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 It's the devil. It's the devil. It's the devil. I keep coming right back to it because it's so common in our society, especially with husband and wives. You know, you get up in the morning, you're feeling good, and all of a sudden you say one thing, hallelujah. And that offends the other person. The other person says, start attacking, and you start attacking. Listen, all you got to do is just say, listen, don't say it out loud. Say, peace. Peace. Be still. And see, what you're talking to, you're talking to you. Are you with me? Because if you're not careful, the storms start riling up in you. And when you say, peace, be still, talking to you. Are you with me? Then nothing can stir up in you. And soon as you're quiet, pretty soon that storm and the other person just go away. It's just gone. And then you guys can go on and eat your Cheerios. All is good. Use the weapon God has given you to defeat the adversary. Everything God created was created with words of his mouth. Don't that tell you something? Where's the power? The power is in our mouth. You can have whatever you say. Lord. Isn't that what God says? Therefore, I say unto you, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you've already received them and you shall have them. Let me give you some words to stand on when the big storm comes. I want to take you to Psalm 147 and 5 and read that real quickly. It says, great is our Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite, 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 never runs out. And then in John, 1 John 4 and 4, it says, you are of God, talking to us. You are of God, little children. Put your name in there. You are of God, Bob. You are of God, Mary, and have overcome them. Overcome who? Overcome any attack that the enemy throws your way. Because why? Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. When are we going to start acting like it? When? When are we going to stop being defeated by the storms the devil brings into our lives? And they're coming. They're coming. You think the devil going to give up? Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no. But when you use the authority that you got, he will back off. Will he come back again? Probably. But all you care about is him backing off right now. And he will do it. Hallelujah. 1 John 4 and 4 once again say, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Why? Because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. I don't know what kind of storms you may have experienced in the last few days or the last few weeks or the last few months. I have not a clue. But Jesus is in your ship. And if you'll just dare stand on the word of God, then God is capable of bringing you what I call mega calm into your life. God is a good God. Wake up. Start using that power that's inside you. Stop arguing and fussing. It's not all the crazy stuff. Stop doing it. Peace. Be still. Peace. Somebody got to say it. Peace. Be still. Peace. Be still. Peace. Be still. Peace. Be still. Hallelujah. There might be somebody in our midst here today. See, I've been giving word to Christians today. People that have the power inside of them. Hallelujah. You folks might be here. Listen to me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When I first physically said what the preachers told me to say to get saved, I said all that stuff, but I had never really surrendered. I went to church, but I never really surrendered. You know, I still had the same desires that I had prior to going through all that. Hallelujah. But when the appropriate time came, and it's probably about a year later, when the appropriate time came and I gave up, I just surrendered to God and I accept salvation. Salvation is not just going to church on Sunday, folks. The Bible says, Jesus said, if man be in Christ, he's a new creature. There may be some here today that's confessing salvation, but you're still wrestling with some things. I want to pray with you, and the two of us, we can get rid of those things. If that's you, just raise your hand and we want to pray with you. Is anybody? I saw a hand. You wrestle with some things too? Okay, come on up here. Come on up here. All right. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sister Eva. It's not time for Sister Eva yet. What are you wrestling with?
Well, praying for my uncle Jason.
You feel like you're not praying enough? You're not praying enough? So you want more strength to pray?